What's up, Fear fans? Losing a main character is never easy, and that is just the case tonight. Stay tuned. Fear the Walking Dead, Season 3, Episode 14, El Matadero.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Fear fans? We just had to give that the Lumineers Ophelia song its credit because we did lose a main character tonight, and we are a little upset about it.
Yeah.
We will talk about it. I am your host, Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. This is my other main host.
Hi, guys. I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms. That's N-A-T-A-L-E-E-D-Y-E-R.
Thank you, everybody who is joining us in the chat. Thank you, everybody, for viewing our show tonight.
Yeah.
We just have a little bit of a quick announcement before we dive into today's show. We wanted to remind everybody about exciting changes on our network. You may have noticed that Fear the Walking Dead / The Walking Dead Weekly now airs on a brand new YouTube channel. That's because we're catering content to match your wants, and all of our shows currently live on content-specific verticals. Since you're a fan of our show, all of the content on this channel, which is sci-fi, superhero, and fantasy, should be right up your alley, so hit that subscription button now. We have 9 genre-based channels in all: comedy, drama, sci-fi, superhero, fantasy, that's us, reality TV, reality competition, 2 separate ones, animation, wrestling, sports, red carpets and events, and featured and original. So subscribe to your favorites. AfterBuzz is the leader in custom TV coverage, and we're always looking to improve, hence this new change. So let us know what you think on all social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV, or email us at info@afterbuzztv.com. I know many of you have had some challenges navigating the YouTube channels, but we hope that clears everything up for you. Let's dive into Fear the Walking Dead on the Walking Dead Weekly channel. Natalie, your initial thoughts?
I have so many thoughts about this episode. I guess it really comes down to, oh no, we lost an OG.
Yes.
We lost one of our original members.
Yes, I feel exactly the same way. And you guys, I didn't actually think that I was going to take it this hard. I don't think Natalie did either.
But I didn't.
It's always hard, like Natalie said when we were watching, it's always hard losing an OG character, as you put it.
One of our original characters who we've lived with for 3 seasons.
Yeah. It's funny because I tweeted out a poll when we first started the season, you know, about who we think would die in the first episode. And, you know, I jokingly said that, you know, we wished that it would be Ophelia. But now that she's gone, I'm kind of upset. I mean, I actually was starting to like her. I think I started liking her after she came back with Taka and the Nation group, because I felt like she grew a pair. I felt like she came back and was like, this is who Ophelia is, rather than not knowing who she is, this flip-flopping character. I'm like, who really is Ophelia? And I feel like she really was grounded in the Nation.
Yeah, I liked her a lot now, but I also really enjoyed her the first couple of seasons as well. She was not as well-rounded, as you said. Mm-hmm. However, she was still, integral to a lot of what happened throughout the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, and so, obviously she was bitten probably by the vent walker, mm-hmm. or infected. Yeah. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Which still sucks.
I was surprised that she, last week I was surprised she'd survived it, so now it makes a lot more sense that she didn't survive
it. Yeah, I mean, we kind of called it last episode when we were like, you know, something, during mm-hmm. the preview of last week, you know, we saw her
fall off the track.
Yeah, and we were like, something's not right, something's not gonna go wrong. I didn't think that it was gonna be as dramatic or emotional as this, in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think the writers did her justice in sending her
off.
I would just like to say, guys, sorry I didn't say this earlier, but I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. That is our engineer, Anthony. You guys, he is so sweet. He knows how invested we are to the show, hence why we do it. And our characters, hence why we do this after show. But thank you, Anthony. Thank you for your condolences.
Yeah.
We will talk more about Ophelia and those last moments with Daniel and Madison.
Sure.
But I want to get into Alicia really quick, because Alicia is on her own now. I thought that they weren't going to have Troy and Nick reveal themselves so quickly.
I mean, Alicia's smart. She's not, you know, I think that was kind of their mistake. I think they were intending to follow her longer and then, you know,
they just happen to fall upon her.
Yeah, and she's also more aware of her surroundings, especially on her own now, and I don't think they were assuming that she would be like that. But I'm glad they did. I think it got out. It moved the plot forward.
Yeah,
because it would have been way too annoying to like watch her them following her for a while.
Especially when there's literally only 2 hours or 2 episodes left, which is next week. Next week is the Fear finale, you guys. So we look forward to seeing you then. Speaking of Alicia and being aware of her surroundings, because we all were like, you know, she can survive on her own. She is a pretty badass character. Like, but then it's really not until you get out there and you're by yourself that you really
learn
about if a person can do it. Sure. And she didn't make a fire outside. She was inside. She was covered because, you know, you could obviously see light from very far away in the dark. Mm-hmm. So she had that mentality.
Yeah,
that mindset.
Survival mindset.
So
because Alicia is a survivor.
Thank you. So I'm pretty positive that she's going to be able to do whatever she needs to do.
I think so. I think she's going to have some rough patches. There will be learning moments such as this episode, because she doesn't clear the whole apart, like the whole place.
Right.
And, you know, she goes diving into a ball pit, which I thought was so comedic. I was scared for her.
Yes.
But at the same time, I couldn't help but laugh because I was like, this is so, like,
I know.
Her face was peeking out of the, like, the balls. I was like, this is so funny.
Which we'll get to that part later, because that part was very intense. And we have, like, a whole segment on that one part. But I want to talk about Nick and Troy, or just at least Nick's kind of trying to convince Alicia to come back. Right. How did you feel about that?
I mean, I didn't think he wasn't going to not try to, you know? Like, he has to. He's
right.
He's her big brother, and I think he still feels slightly obligated to protect her, even though she, at this point, is like, I don't want anything to do with you or Madison, mom.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to deal with it because you're not, you know, I don't know if it's like, you don't, not how they, she expects them to be, or they're just so conflicting in, like, mindsets at this point.
What did you think specifically of his argument of just, there are safety in numbers, and then Alicia just firing back with, you know, I almost died surrounded by people. I thought those two sentences alone summed up Fear the Walking Dead in general.
Oh, I think it sums up The Walking Dead in general.
Yeah.
I think that it's also kind of life in that you can be surrounded by people or you can be alone, but either way, you're going to have to survive.
Yeah.
And bad things will happen.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think that's interesting. I love that line. I love that line. And I love that she then throws that back and says, hey, is that mom talking or is that you?
Yeah.
Because I think that was the first nail in Nick's proverbial coffin for this episode.
To his, what do they call that? His falling off of the wagon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, falling off the wagon or...
We have so many little zingers that we can throw out there, you guys.
Yeah. poor Nick.
What did we think about Alicia kind of giving Nick the let go when she was like, you don't have to atone for anything. I forgive you. Like, there's nothing that you have to make up for me. I think this goes back to the first episode, and you brought this up last episode, when they were in the hospital room together and Alicia was clearly upset and she's feeding him Jell-O or whatever it was that she was feeding him. They've had a pretty rocky relationship. And I think
for a while.
Yeah. And I think this is a huge character jump for her to say, I forgive you. You don't owe me anything.
I think that's also partially, I think that's slightly her giving up on him in a sense.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think that's her. Because I think she's like, I can't do anything to protect you in this world. I've learned that being surrounded by people is not going to protect people. So I can't do anything to protect you in this world. It's up to you to survive. And so you shouldn't feel guilty because we're in a different universe.
Yeah.
This is all different. And also I think it goes back to last episode when she was remembering Nick, you know, supporting her on that stage at the camps.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that this is a form of her just, like, letting go of her past, like, to a degree. Mm-hmm. I think kind of, like, letting go of the fear of living in this world. Letting go of the Berkeley acceptance letter. Letting go of the ex-boyfriends.
Letting go of her old life.
Letting go of everything and just kind of going, I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
She has that instinct to survive. Mm-hmm. Which I'm really excited to see.
Yes, we will talk more about Alicia. Yeah. I do want to go back to Ophelia, because now they have to get Ophelia into the bazaar, or the trading post, whatever you guys want to call it. And they can't make it look like Ophelia's sick, and she's literally on death's door right now. I don't exactly know how fast this how, like we said, the time frame with the show is always very vague, but we didn't exactly know when she got bitten and how many hours have passed since they got to the trading post.
And also if it's different per person, like if you get bit and you turn slower, or if you get bit and you turn faster, we have no idea. There's no scientific evidence.
Yeah.
I kind of wish Troy was still running his, like,
Experiments? Because that's because you're barbaric.
I know, but man, I would love to have this information.
I know. Even with The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead, there has been literally no scientific, except for when they were at the CDC in season one of Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
There's been no scientific. I need some answers. I need answers.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just so, it's so difficult to get that in these shows because it is post-apocalyptic and nobody really cares about science. Once you're like, oh, there's something that it can bite me and I'll die.
There's no electricity to run the labs or the microscopes or anything like that. So they do get Ophelia in successfully. And Taka is in charge of watching Ophelia. And I thought this was a very poignant moment because Madison hands him the knife and she says, don't fall asleep. And it just brings me back to when the old man or the old woman passed away in the shack at Brokejaw Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
And then woke up and killed. Like, that's really creepy. Like, you can't even go to sleep around somebody who might have been bitten because they're going to wake up and eat you while you sleep. That's insane.
But that's also, I mean,
that's
just like letting down your guard. And
but you're just trying to sleep, though. Like, I mean, I would be like, I'm tired. We just drove all night. I just want to go to sleep. And now I can't because this one got bit and I got to watch her.
Well, okay. You could just lock yourself in a separate room or lock the infected in a room.
If they had
there's a lot of like ways they could have gone about this. Yeah. They just decided to have someone with her, which is very touching because, she definitely deserved to die with someone by her side.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up because Strand didn't agree with Madison's way of going about this. Strand thought that Madison was wasting all their resources on somebody that was just going to die anyway. But then we looked at Taka's standpoint and Taka saying, you know, how much they've lost, and who did you agree with in this instance?
In what sense? In that
in sense
they're
of,
wasting.
Like, do we think that they should have gone that far to help Ophelia?
Yeah, she's one of their, like, she is a family member. I mean, regardless of what's happened, she, in a sense, is a part of that little family they created the very beginning of the show. And longer than Strand has been a part of the family. Because Strand came in at the end of season one.
Right.
But he wasn't, so I would say that, I would, it's, you know, it's kind of like Ophelia was Madison's second daughter.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And Madison knows a lot about Ophelia, and Ophelia knows a lot about her. And I think Madison knows that it would be hard, but she would rather see Nick or Alicia before they died than not see him at all.
Right. I just thought it was interesting because, like you said, Strand didn't come in until the end of season one, and we just met Taka, and Taka was the one that was like, I agree with what you're doing. Because, but Strand was like,
because
no.
Strand is a, I don't know how to explain to Strand, but
I feel like he's
Taka's
a brutal realist.
Like, sure. He's a manipulator in his own right, and I don't think Taka is. Taka is, I'm going to say, what is, like, he's gonna say what needs to be done in his mind. Whereas Strand, he's also like a sort of pseudo-survivalist. Like, he's going to do anything he can do to survive, which I have a prediction we're going to talk about later. I'm very excited about. Also pissed off about. But he's going to do what he needs to do to survive. He's a I survive, I don't care if you survive. Like, if you're helping me survive in this moment, I'll care if you survive.
Right.
But right now, you're deterring my ability to survive.
Agreed. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I just, on my personal opinion, I do agree with Taka as well. I feel like, you know, Ophelia's been there from the beginning, and they have this connection, Madison and her, and I feel like they've all been through too much, and I feel like once you stop caring about people, especially in this moment, you do lose a sense of your humanity, and I don't think that you should.
No, I don't think so either. I also think that I interpreted the line where he was saying you're wasting resources a little bit differently than you did. I think he was arguing, or how I interpret it, was he was saying, you know, you're not fighting for the resources that you should be getting. So they're at that trading post.
Right.
And they get 200 less than last time for the same amount of guns. And he's like, you're squandering resources. And it was merely just to get Ophelia into the bazaar.
Right.
And that was squandering resources. Like, you cannot be throwing this stuff away.
No, yes, I completely agree. You're squandering your resources. And not only did they have to pay to get into the bazaar, but then they also had to pay for the medication. They had to pay for the drinks.
I'm okay with... I think Strand would be okay with paying for the medication and the drinks, because I don't think it's as much as we probably imagined
right.
it is. I think... that it was the you're not getting what you should be getting for the resources we have.
Yeah.
You're getting screwed over, and you're not fighting for that.
Agreed. Nick and Troy are still having this weird duo thing when they're in the truck coming back to the bazaar, and he's like, why did you stay at Brookton? Nick gives this whole speech about, I need to stay for Luciana, Travis is dead. But then Troy goes, I think it's because you love me. I'm like, what is happening? Like, it's like sociopath.
I know.
And Natalie's sitting here like, I'm really starting to like Troy. And I'm like, Troy just creeps me out, you guys. He creeps me out.
Troy is so fun. Like, I hate him, but he's so fun. Like, he's throwing just like this cool curveball into all of these situations. Like, I'm really enjoying him right now.
I'm glad that you're enjoying him, because I'm not. So they get back, and there was this really poignant... I just like the word poignant tonight. This really intense moment between Madison and Nick. Mm-hmm. And Nick telling her, you know, he couldn't convince Alicia to come back. And she has this kind of mini breakdown. And she tells him, I'm just glad that you're still here. I don't know what I would do without you. And as soon as she said it, I literally wrote down guilt. Like, she's mm-hmm. trying to guilt him into staying, because I felt like Madison was afraid that he would leave too. Like, he already has. And I didn't think that Madison would be able to handle both of them leaving. What did you think of this moment?
Okay, so I think you skipped something. In mm-hmm. that conversation where Troy says, I think you stay because you love me. He also says, you're a product of violence, just like I am. You just want to deny that you are. Now, I don't know what he thinks he's referencing to, but you could say that it's abuse from manipulation. Because Madison is a very heavy manipulator in a lot of senses. So, if you wanted to, you could say that was Neil, too. It was him thinking, okay, I'm not abused, but also, like, now he's starting to think about that stuff. And then you have this moment with Madison and Nick, and she is very clearly pulling a guilt trip.
Mm-hmm.
A manipulation, hey, I don't know what I would do without you. Stay with me, because you're my child.
Yeah.
Now, I love both of these characters to agree. I hate both of these characters to agree. I don't think that was the right move for Madison, but I also think that she is on her last leg. Like, she's emotionally drained at this point, especially with Alicia leaving.
Yeah.
And now the prospect of Nick leaving.
And you don't
Because I think that she is... she's looking at Nick as how he's been at the ranch. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been a great person. He's not been on drugs. He's not been doing all these, like, you know, he's not walking off into the walker, the infected. Like, he's not doing these things.
Right.
And so she's looking at him as potentially, like, her baby child again.
Right. So you spoke about, you know, the second nail in the proverbial coffin of you know...
falling off the wagon, because we're doing all of the things. Yeah, of Nick falling off the wagon.
You don't think that Madison's saying... you know, I'm really glad you're here. I don't know what I would do without you. Isn't like the third one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That was the third. I just think we skipped over the first one of the, like, him, like, that implantation of, mm-hmm. like, denying that he's in an abusive relationship or however you want to look at it.
Right.
I think whatever it was that did it for him, whatever he's feeling after Troy said that line, I think that was another push towards... going back.
So Madison said something, nail. Troy had said something, nail. Alicia had said something, nail. Going back to Alicia, Alicia is once again trying to survive on her own. She comes across this fast food restaurant and finds like a... What do you call those? Like a bin?
Instant...
I know, but what do you call that big thing? What is that? Like a barrel, I guess? I don't know, a plastic
tub,
yeah, whatever. Not really important. A plastic tub of potatoes, which are
dried and mashed potatoes.
What I found interesting about this scene was that she scanned the restaurant. There were no infected in there. Mm. She's getting the potatoes, and then all of a sudden there is an infected in there.
That I understood. I saw that coming. I actually kind of was surprised she didn't just go ahead and, like, the guy who was flopped over on the desk.
Right.
Or the table. I thought she was just going to go ahead and stab him in the head just to, like,
But that wasn't verify. The same infected,
it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but that's what I was, like, sort of expecting.
I just thought that she would hear him come in. Because remember, she came in and there was a bell.
He came in. He could have come around from the backside of the place. There was a lot of... She kind of just scanned. She didn't, like, investigate mm-hmm. thoroughly.
Right.
So it could have... He could have been in a back room.
That's true.
He could have been in... It's a fairly big structure.
No, that's true.
That she didn't, like, search.
But then she sees all these other infected coming from outside. Mm-hmm. This is why I initially thought that he came from outside. Because
yeah, I get that.
They're all coming in. And I was mm-hmm. like, they can't open doors. Or they just walk in the doors. Whatever. But then, so then we have this moment with Alicia in the ball pit. I'm going to have you take this one because it was pretty freaking awesome. I love when the writers do unique things like this. Go ahead.
It was so fun. Like I said earlier, I could not stop laughing. I was nervous for her, but also she slides in there. And my first thought was, oh, that's a pretty good hiding spot. Like, you can nestle down. You have fairly good movement. Not, yeah. like, amazing. And the people I was watching with were like, yeah, but what if there's something in there with it? And I was like, dang it. And then, of course, there is
yes.
a potentially child infected.
Yeah.
It kind of looked pretty old to be
it
a
did,
child.
It did.
Like pretty large. But it was wearing pigtails, so let's go ahead and say it was a young adult.
Yes, there you go.
infected. And I was laughing. It was really beautifully shot, too.
It was.
When she's sucked into the balls.
Yeah.
And,
like, classic horror movie shot.
And a lot of just, like, I'm going into, like, technical things, but, like, the focus in, like, it was a pull focus, I think. And it was just, I was like, this is so good. And she kills that walker, or that mm-hmm. infected. And I was like, oh, no, she lost her weapon. She finds it. But she also just hides down in there. And her face is just, I was dying. Her, like, the plastic balls were just, it was just her face. This is amazing.
No, I love that moment. And then we are introduced to this kick-ass pickaxe woman. I'm going to call her pickaxe woman. Actress Edwina Findlay. We don't exactly know her name yet specifically. We were looking for it. I know Natalie did quite a bit of research to find her name. We couldn't find it. If anybody in the chat or anybody watching does find it, let us know. Yeah, her character name. But initially when I first saw her, I thought it was the woman from the Passage miniseries, the black woman from the Passage miniseries.
Sure.
Because it takes place in around the same area.
I mean, they did a really good job of covering, like, she was all in shadows mm-hmm. for the entirety of that scene where they're in the, I think it was a burger something.
Right.
Fast burger place.
Like that. Yeah.
They did a really good job of hiding who it was. I was watching with some people who watch The Walking Dead, and they instantly went, oh, it's Michonne, because she was cutting off the fingers and taking the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But then we were like, wait, that doesn't quite make sense. So, especially because we had the announcement, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
But yeah, so I understand where that was coming from.
Yeah.
And instead, it's a whole brand new character, which we're excited to learn
more
about.
Really I love these strong female characters, especially if they're ethnic, because I am all about a strong black woman.
Yeah, definitely.
Going back to Troy really quick, because Madison then puts Nick. Mm-hmm. Madison then puts Nick in charge of watching Ophelia, or at least he volunteers to. And there are drugs lying around. Now, guys, at this point, I didn't actually think that Nick would be tempted by drugs, and yet he is. And then he takes them. Were you surprised by that?
That he took them? I was just pissed. I wasn't surprised necessarily. I was just, oh!
Yeah.
Like, come on, Nick. You've been off of them for, I don't know how long, because we don't know time in this show.
Yeah.
But at least a month. Like, at
I think
least
more
a month,
than
if
that.
Not 2
yeah.
months. You've been off for a while. And I get I thought it was such a little, in my mind, I was like, oh, he's not the center of attention anymore.
So let me do something to make myself the center of attention?
Yeah, that's what I felt like when I was watching him take it. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, I'm on the same page. Not maybe that it was a cry for attention, but the fact that I'm just frustrated with this whole drug-induced state that he wants to be in. Because I'm like, at this point, in this moment, is not the time for it at all.
No, it's
like,
not.
If there's anything to sober you up, it's, you know, infected trying to eat your face off. And I just, it's just frustrating because I mean, but then again, we're not drug addicts, so
that's true.
We can't really speak to that mindset. I'm not going to say maybe what you do on the weekends.
I was like, that you know. But, I don't do drugs.
It's just, I'm sure it's a temptation. I'm sure it's a battle every day, but damn, come on. Like, you had to find the one drug for the one person that needed them and take
it. It was just really irresponsible of Madison, in all honesty.
Oh, that's a good point.
It was really irresponsible of Madison to leave the drugs, especially out in there.
But I'm sure Madison has the same mindset that I do. Like, it's been a while. Like, we are not really thinking about...
Yeah, but the thing is, with drug addicts, they don't ever... it never gets easier,
No, of course.
So you can't... That was a huge temptation, especially with Alicia having left. Like, Madison has to be able to see those triggers.
Yeah.
Especially, she was taking care of Nick for a while before this whole thing started, when he was on drugs. So it was very irresponsible on her part. I think it's very irresponsible on his part. However, I was... when he meets back up with Troy, I was like, yes, this is so fun.
Well, let's talk about that, because they do meet up, and they are high at...
This is my favorite.
They're high AF, you guys, because they're just, like, tripping on whatever these, like, hallucinogens were, or whatever these pills were, and then they want to find more drugs, obviously, because
Nick wants to.
Right.
Troy doesn't want to do any of this. He doesn't want to drink. He doesn't want to take the pill. He doesn't want to do all this stuff. And then Nick pulls a freaking guilt trip and says, oh, I saved your life, so you have to do what I say now.
Right. Yeah, so then they go to find the title of the episode, El Matadero, which means the slaughterhouse or slaughter yard. It's pretty much just a drug den. It's pretty much a drug house, to go find the guy who runs it. And Nick finds brain stems?
Yeah.
That was so weird.
But here's the thing. What do you think the brain... Like, because he said, let's say pigs. What do you think... the brain stems are really...
I think they got some infected, they killed them. Yes, I think that's exactly what he took.
Oh my God.
And the fact that he actually took them, even though he says, the guy says, oh, they're free, and Nick literally says, nada es gratis, which means nothing is free, and still takes it. I was like, you knew that there was some kind of risk involved, and you still took it?
I mean, listen, that's how people become drug addicts, though. First time's free.
That's true. You think so? You think that's name? El Matarif guy?
I don't think that was his name, but I think that's where he was.
Right.
But I think
he's trying to get him hooked.
He was like, okay, you are a perfect candidate to be hooked, and then you're gonna have to buy it.
No, I think you're right, because as your boy Troy is looking around, he sees all these other people like in these like states. Yeah. I think they took the same drug that Nick did,
potentially, and or just other oxy or cocaine.
Possibly,
or whatever. He had a whole list of drugs that he had available.
Yeah.
I could see that. I loved that. In my mind, we've been seeing all of Troy's crazy. We're like, Troy is crazy. And then now we're getting to see Nick's crazy.
But that's another thing that's frustrating, this whole situation with Nick for me, is because Nick can see what crazy is, so you just want to jump on the bandwagon?
I don't know that that's what, what you mean, Nick can see what's crazy? Because I think Troy can see crazy too now. I think that's part of it, is that Troy knows this is crazy.
But Nick was a little crazy, and then he saw crazy, but he came back from crazy, and now he just wants to go back into the crazy? That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, why would you voluntarily do this?
How do I say this? He was just a drug addict. And we call it crazy because he goes walking into the infected and covered in blood. But it's really, he's searching for a high. So I don't know that it's necessarily crazy.
It's a little crazy.
Troy has something wrong if he's a psychopath or a sociopath, or he's got something there. It's probably dropped on his head as a baby or something. but I don't know. Yes, we see it as crazy, but at the same time, it's desperate times. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say now.
Yeah.
I've lost it.
I mean, they go off and what I thought was interesting is this is why I don't necessarily agree with you in this whole Nick trying to find a high, because he's already high, and yet in the next shot, we see Nick and Troy killing this infected, and then Nick teaching Troy how to walk among them. So why do you need a high to go get another high? Do you know what I mean? Like, is he just trying to get higher? I don't understand. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
That's what you do. That's what you do. is a drug addict.
But you just had, like, the, like this guy says, you just had the upper of ups. Like, you can't get any higher than this. And yet, Nick takes it and then
because
still
Nick
goes and does what he does.
Because Nick knows you can get higher.
That's insane. It's just you guys, I'm just really, really frustrated because now is not the time. There's a time and place for everything, and now is not the time.
I mean, okay, here's the counterpoint. When is the better time to do this right now?
Not when there's things trying to eat you at every turn. Not when there's people trying to kill you at every turn.
They could die tomorrow because somebody kills them or because they get bitten or whatever.
Yes,
so at this point, it's like, do whatever you want.
Yes, but he is taking these drugs and he's just making it easier for him to die by something else on the outside. You get what I'm saying? Like, he's just making himself more vulnerable because he's not in the right mindset to defend himself.
He's not. And he says, you know, after they've gone through the infected, he says, I can't go back.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just him dealing... It's a terrible coping mechanism, but it's him dealing with stuff. So you can't really... I don't know.
I just don't know how they're going to wrap up this whole thing. Like, we only have 2 episodes left of Fear the Walking Dead, so I don't exactly know how... Are we going to leave him? We'll just talk about it in predictions.
Okay, cool.
But, like, right, because I just can't. I can't. Alicia and... Pickaxe Girl, that's what I've, I'm gonna call her, dubbed her, have this weird bonding moment, and Pickaxe Girl says this really, this line that really stuck out to me. She says, it's not the killing, it's the friends. When they're talking about, you know, Alicia going off on her own, and this woman clearly has been off on her own for however long. What did you think about this whole moment between her and Pickaxe Girl? Do you like them together?
Yeah, totally. I think... I don't think Alicia can be by herself.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think she could. She could do it. She could survive. But at the same time, I think she's looking for someone who is on par with her in the same mentalities, which this lady is kind of like. And I think also Alicia's smart. She's a survivor. She sees I can learn from her. And
yeah.
And that's what she's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this other lady's probably been out here for so long that she is also at that point where, you know, maybe she does want somebody there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not. And again, like you said, it's not, you know, it's killing, not friends.
Yeah.
Because I think if you get, in their minds, if you get too close to somebody, they're going to die. And then you have lost yet another person in this world.
Yeah.
And so they both have a same, like a similar goal in mind. So why not do it together?
Which is survival.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I also found interesting is that she says, you grow accustomed to the killing. And just this, like, female empowerment line of, if a woman sets her mind to it, she could do anything. She can get used to anything. Which I thought was pretty awesome. Because Alicia smiles at this line and goes, you know what, you're right.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really want them to stick together. I don't want them to separate.
I don't think they will. I think we've formally greeted Edwina Findlay onto the Fear of the Walking Dead show, which welcome, because awesome.
Yeah, and she needs a car.
Yeah.
Alicia has a car. They're probably going to, and clearly they could fight infected together pretty well. They don't need any guns. So
no.
I think that they will benefit each other. I think if they make it to the cabin, which we'll talk about in predictions, if you think they will or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do and they don't find anything, maybe they'll go off together. Maybe start their own thing. Whatever. Going back to Ophelia, the main part of this episode, Madison and Ophelia have this crazy moment because Madison just wants Ophelia to hold on until Daniel comes, and he's going to show up in a few hours. Then it's like a few minutes. And they have this really interesting, touching moment because, like you said earlier in the episode, Madison always looked at Ophelia as, you know, a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was said in this moment.
Definitely.
How did you feel about this last moment between these two characters?
Between them, I thought it was very touching, and I was really happy that Madison was there. I obviously was frustrated with Madison after Ophelia passes because Madison is always promising, and I was going off on this too, she's always promising to the people who are dying or earlier, like, yeah, I'll kill you before your loved one has to do it. And then she never follows through.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I think, at least the second time where, like, because she did it with Eliza.
Yeah, she did do it with Eliza,
She was going to do it, like, she was going to kill Eliza, but then, what was his name? I'm spacing.
Travis?
I was going to call him his real name. And I was like, that's not right. Yeah, so Travis comes in, he's like, I'll do it. And then she promises Ophelia, and then, like, she has to have a knife on her. She could have just easily, like, slid the knife in and then dealt with
Daniel. I think after she had that conversation with Daniel, after he finds out, and he's like, get away from us and all this stuff, I think Madison was just like, I think you need to do it. I feel like in her mindset, she's like, you need to do this in order for you to get closure for this. Because I feel like Travis resented Alicia for putting down Eliza, his first wife, in the first episode.
What are you talking about?
In the first episode, I feel like
Madison didn't put down. When you said Alicia, so Alicia did
not.
No,
sorry, I meant Madison.
Okay, and Madison didn't. Travis did, I think, right?
No, Madison. Oh, wait, you're right.
Madison was going to. That's what I'm saying. Madison was going to.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No, I'm going to do it.
But that's what I mean. I feel like Madison understands that people have to do it themselves. The people that are closest to you have to do it themselves in order for them to have that closure. I think that's why she didn't do it.
Maybe.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's
I
what
don't.
I'm...
Just... No. Okay.
What I found interesting was, do you think that it was a selfish motive for Madison to kind of try to keep Ophelia alive and keep her going? Yeah. Because I feel like she kind of hinted to it, how is Daniel going to react when we don't show up with Ophelia or the guns? Like, Strand said it. So I feel like Madison did have that kind of mindset where she was like, if Daniel shows up, there might be a chance that he's not going to let us into the dam, and that's our last saving grace.
Maybe, but again, I believe that Madison was looking at it as if she were my child, I would like to have that last couple of seconds with her, even if it's just a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Now, I have a whole problem with Daniel not going with Madison to the ranch to see his daughter, because, like, if you're separated for that long, and if you're, like, it's your child,
yeah,
I don't feel like someone would be like, I'll wait for you to bring my daughter to me.
Yeah.
Especially not in this world where things change left and right.
Was there at any moment that you thought that Daniel would see Ophelia alive? Or did you know that she was going to pass right before he got there?
I knew she was going to pass right... Starting this episode, I knew she would pass right before he got there.
Okay.
If not a few minutes, like, either seconds or longer. Like, it could have been an hour. I wasn't sure, but I knew they weren't going to have a conversation.
It was real sad, but I knew that was coming. It was really sad. We were really upset, you guys. We were like, come on. Like, you couldn't have held out just, like, a minute. Just a minute.
Yeah.
So then we have this moment with Daniel and Madison, and Daniel was pissed at first, and at first I was like, he's not gonna let them in the dam, there's no way. But then he comes to his senses and he realizes that probably Madison did whatever she could, the best that she could, for his daughter in her final moments, and allows them to go to the dam, which is where we'll go for the next episode. Did you think that he would change his mind so quickly?
I hadn't really put much thought to it, to be honest. I sort of figured that he would. I didn't know how quickly. But I think that he does recognize... Madison does have a conversation with Daniel where she says, I told him... Or Ophelia told me to tell you, you know, that she was looking forward to getting to know you, but I told her that she already knew you.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been the turning point where he was like, you can't come with me.
Yeah. So you think that line changed his mind?
I think that line.
You didn't think that he walked in there, like...
No, I think he was coming for more closure to find out maybe what happened exactly or something along those lines. But I also think that it was...
Well, good, because I'm glad that they're going to the dam. I'm glad that Daniel is back on board. Then we see Nick and Madison, and he tells Madison that he's actually going to stay at the trading post.
Mm-hmm.
To provide more provisions and to have this, I guess, this connection to the trading post, just in case they ever need to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Madison knew he was lying?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I did too. As soon as, and you could see the two little blood stains on his neck. Like, she knew something was going on.
Oh, yeah. She knew. Well, and she found the bag of drugs, and they're mostly gone. Like, she knows he's back on it. And I think she's finally gotten to this point where she knows she can't control her children, especially with Alicia leaving. She knows she can't control her children.
Yeah.
And I also think she's just slightly over it because, as you said, this is an apocalypse. It's not the time to be, I did air quotes, by the way, on the podcast, the time to be doing this type of stuff. And so I think she's just sort of finally done.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of just like, well, whatever happens, happens.
I agree.
Which I think is a great turn for this, these
for her,
characters.
Her character. Yes. I totally agree with you. I think that her being like, you know what? Okay. you want to stay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go. Like, I feel like she is just at this point done. Yeah. I feel like she, after Ophelia's death, I feel like she is like, there are other things that we need to worry about. If you want to stay, then stay. Yeah. I do want to talk about this crossover really quick before we get into predictions, before we get into shoutouts. Mm-hmm. So all week, or at least for the first couple of days, there has been this rumor that there was going to be a crossover in this episode between The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. Natalie, what did you have to say about it?
One, it was announced at New York Comic Con mm-hmm. that there is going to be a crossover episode between Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. which I was super stoked about. Didn't even register that it wasn't this episode, mainly based on how the Fear the Walking Dead promoted it on their Twitter. I was like, it's tomorrow night. Yeah. I was so excited. And then it's not. I apologize because I even tweeted out a poll. I was like, who do you think it is? Yes, because I need to know. Who do you think it is? It wasn't. But it is supposed to come up in the next, within the next year.
Oh, okay.
Within the next year, it is supposed to come out. We don't know if it's going to be on Fear the Walking Dead or if it's going to be a crossover onto The Walking Dead.
Right.
And it's either a flashback with a character from The Walking Dead on Fear, or if it's a futuristic thing on with one of our characters from Fear on The Walking Dead, or if it's something else.
Yes.
We have no idea.
Because the creator, Robert Kirkman, was very vague.
But he did confirm it.
He did confirm it. There was a poster about it. I'm sure you saw The Worlds Collide. It says Fear Walking Dead. It saw The Walking Dead.
Literally the reason I thought it was happening.
That's why everybody thought it was happening this episode.
Oh, I was so mad.
And we've been waiting for this. You guys, I know that everybody's frustrated probably after not seeing it happen this episode. But we all are waiting for it to happen. And mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that it is going to happen in this finale.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Because they say, you know, they were like, there is one character that is going to go from one show that he will not name to another show that he will not name. Yeah. So it could go either way. It could be Fear the Walking Dead on The Walking Dead or The Walking Dead on Fear the Walking mm-hmm. Dead. I think at this point in the time frame, it will probably be, chances are, a character from Fear the Walking Dead on The Walking Dead. That's just my guess.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Which brings us into predictions, because we have a lot to predict.
Yes, and we've only got a couple of minutes.
Yes. Natalie, take it away.
Okay, so something we missed on when we were reviewing this, Strand ends up getting caught up with somebody.
Proctor
John. Mm-hmm. And he says, I have something for you. My prediction is he gives up the dam.
No, really?
Mm-hmm. My prediction is that he gives up the dam, and that is what the next two episodes is about.
If Strand does that, that's going to piss me off. I wasn't even on that mindset. I was thinking more along the lines of he has water that he can give them, but not necessarily the actual whole dam. But I think based on the preview, I'm guessing that you're right.
I'm thinking he turns it over. He says, this is the location. I know where it is. I can, like, and there you go. Mm-hmm. Which pisses me off.
Do you think that Proctor John, because like we said, guys, there's only two episodes left. Do we think that Proctor John will carry on as the next villain into the next season?
Potentially. I think it really depends on if the dam falls or not.
Do you think that the dam will fall that quick?
I hope not, but they don't have weapons and they didn't exactly protect themselves. So, I don't know. I think Nick and Troy might find out about it and then warn the people at the dam, mm-hmm. warn Madison. I hope.
Right.
I hope that if they do find out that out, that they will follow through and then warn them, but who knows if they're drugged out of their minds.
Right.
And
I predict that the entire Clark family will be reunited at some point in finale.
Oh,
I don't think Alicia's going to go off and Nick is going to stay at the bazaar and Madison's going to go at the dam and they're not going to come back finale.
I disagree. I think they're all going to be spread at the end of this, the finale.
I don't know. I feel like the dam is going to bring them all together at some point in the finale.
Maybe.
I mean, I guess we'll see. Do we have any shout-outs?
Yeah, we have tons of shout-outs. We have Jay Snowden, who says this episode was amazing, definitely one of the best Fear ups to date. Not this one, sorry, last week's. Mm-hmm. Alicia had an amazing character arc, and Debnam Carey is a phenomenal actor. I agree.
We both agree.
Yeah, she is amazing. She says, I think it's interesting how much Madison is fighting for her kids and they keep wanting to leave her. Well, you're right. They have both, in a theory, left her at this point. We have James Mirror Demands. Alicia leaving at the end made me angry at the writers. I hope it pays off because I'm tired of the group constantly being split up just to extend the story. I agree with that extent. Whole, yeah, to that extent that the writers are, you know, trying to extend it out. But at the same time, that is literally what The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead is. Your characters coming together and being split and then coming together and being right. split. It is the pattern of the show.
Yes.
Sydney Taylor says, Nick and Troy together is just a toxic friendship and they'll probably just end up wearing each other's personalities. Wow, what a prediction, because that's essentially what we just saw yes. tonight. We have... Tracy Lewis had a prediction that was very similar to yours, in which they say Alicia meets one of the female characters from the web series Passage, which is what you thought. Mm-hmm. However, it was not. We have a new character. Kate H. says, great episode, great review, and that song in your intro, never heard of it, nice cover.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. And we love all of these shout-outs. We love all of these Definitely. Predictions, you guys. So keep them coming throughout the week. Leave them on our YouTube channel or tweet at us using our Twitter handles, which we say at the end of the show. Also, you could tweet at AfterBuzzTV. And remember, this is where you're going to find us from now on our channel, Sci-Fi Superhero Fantasy. If you are a fan of AfterBuzz, make sure you look at all of the channels from now on. Natalie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Natalie Dyer, NatalieLeeDyer, on all social media platforms. I am also on a D&D podcast called Welcome to the Dungeon Hole, which we release new episodes every Saturday, and you can find us at The Dungeon Hole on Twitter and Welcome to the Dungeon Hole on SoundCloud.
Yes, guys, I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Next week, you guys, next week is the Fear finale. It will be a 2-hour finale. We are very, very excited about it. So stay tuned for that, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
And thank you, Mercedes Mason.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.